What's up, Northern Colorado? Another edition of Let's Have a Beer, this time with Brian Carey. And I can tell you what, this is a spoiler alert.
Tell you what, spoiler alert.
There it is. There
this
it is. All right.
Yeah. All right. That's...
I can tell you right there. You heard it. This podcast is, of course, presented by Broken Plow Brewery, the new owners at Broken Plow. If you go and visit them, they've got some remodels going on. It looks great. Their grand opening coming on June 25th and 26th. Mark it on your calendar. Go down and check them out. Let them know you heard about them right here on the Let's Have a Beer podcast. Without further ado, let's have a beer with Brian Carey. Brian, you had to help me get through the open there.
I was just going to say, and that was take two.
Yeah, that was... Spoiling all the spoiler alert. There it is.
All walls are taken down. What we're dealing with here is extreme honesty for the next period of time.
I am so excited about this. Obviously, a radio professional, Northern Colorado icon. Really excited to be sitting here having a beer with you. And you filled in for my show a couple weeks ago.
I did.
And after an extended period of time from not being behind the mic, what was that like for you?
Dude, it was. It's like when you go home again, or you see that, you know, you see that friend that you only see every 5 years, but as soon as you see him, it feels like you never missed a beat.
Yeah.
And you just get that comfort. It was nothing like that.
It was, take that and then the exact opposite.
No,
huh?
It actually, that's exactly what it felt
right.
like. You know, it was different. What you know what a savior for me was?
What's that?
Ryan.
Really?
Just having, because for 30 years, I always had somebody to turn to.
Yeah.
Whether there was any input or not, I just needed a breathing body with me. And it didn't even have to be breathing. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me go here. Yeah. You asked me in just a minute.
Did go ahead. I'm not going to get a word in for the next hour.
No, you are after this story. But I was saying I need somebody, just something breathing.
Right.
Here. Well, one time when Todd went on vacation, you know, we had been working together for 30-some years, but Todd goes on vacation, and I wanted to prove that a cardboard cutout could do his job. So I brought in...
You're an ass.
Yes, I am. I brought in a cardboard cutout of country singer Aaron Tippin.
Right.
And had it in the studio, and I'd just refer to him now and then, and I'd just talk to him, and he would be my Todd. And for that period of time. And then I did a thing where it was like, I'm just going to do a contest to have listeners fill in for him.
Mm.
Just to show that anybody off the street could do his job.
Right.
So then I would just bring in people off the street.
I bet he was really happy to see you when he got back from vacation.
He hated going on vacation. He really did.
I wouldn't have taken another one. I would have been like, we're planning our vacations at the same time.
Yeah, well, you were foolish enough to leave and put me in charge of your show.
Yeah. No, you got some pretty good jabs in there, I will say.
I did. Because I had to work my way into your butt groove now,
right.
In your chair, because you sit in that chair every day.
Right.
Right. So you get kind of
you get a groove. Right.
I felt a different vibe. We definitely have a different cheek style. I'm one of those who suffer from a condition called no acetal.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. And
I do not. I do not suffer from. I do not. Some would say it's my best feature. I don't know. But.
And who are these some?
You know, the voices in my head. But,
okay.
Yeah.
That's yours about, compliment?
Right. Well,
that's cool.
Very rarely.
Mine just say, no,
yeah.
No.
All right, no. let's jump straight in, all right? So let's talk first. Obviously, you spent, was it 30 years?
30 plus years.
30 plus yeah. years in the radio industry, right? Doing the morning show.
Yes.
What was that like? Talk us through what that experience was like, because that's a long damn time to be doing the same job, getting up that early, and working with, you know, the majority of the same people. What was that like?
It was the greatest pleasure you could ever have in your life.
Really?
It truly was. When you get that comfort to where, you know, there's just, you don't even have to speak. You all have just, you feel each other, you know,
right.
The vibe that's going. To get to have that every day, and you say, you know, the same job every day for 30 years, and I think you'll agree being in this industry, one of the coolest things about it is it presents something different every
no
single
doubt.
Day.
No doubt.
The basics of it and the outline might be the same of what you do, but what makes that up is different every day. Every mood is different. And to me, one of the most beautiful and important jobs you can have is a morning radio host.
Yeah.
if you get to set the tone for the day. You know, you get to decide what you're going to talk about, how you're going to present it, and you are actually feeding the fuel and setting the mood for your listeners for the day.
Yeah.
If you started out complaining about things or bringing up all the negative that's out there, you're just feeding that fire and letting it go. You have this ability to set somebody off in the positive frame of mind. And it's not just in radio. I mean, that person who sells you the cup of coffee at wherever you stop in the morning, if you stop for a pack of smokes or a can of chew in the morning, you know, when you go in, it's not the store. It's the person who's behind the counter that has the ability to make your day. You know, so when everyone realizes that, we got a better place. But to have that as your job every day to get up, and what am I supposed to do today? I'm supposed to try to smile and put somebody in a good mood.
Yeah.
What a cool job to
well
get to
and
do,
you're
man.
such a positive dude when you get around and in front of that mic and stuff. And now obviously we all have bad days, right?
Sure.
we're all that asshole that nobody wants to hang out with at specific times. Ryan will attest to that with me, but that job is one that it takes a special type of person and a special type of team to do it. But for those of you listening right now, 30 years in the same job in the radio industry is unheard of.
It doesn't happen.
Especially with the company that you were working with.
No, it doesn't happen.
And we can talk about it.
No, I saw lots of changes in corporate radio. The way it started, myself and Todd, at the time, it was Brewer Broadcasting that owned it. It was a guy out of Windsor who owned this radio station.
Okay.
And he hired me part-time, and he had put, he brought me in for an air check. And he said, he listened to the tape and he said, I'm going to leave you my phone number and I want you to call me if you ever think you're worth a crap.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That was my introduction from that guy. Well, he hated me, but then he sold the station.
And you were like, oh,
okay,
shit.
All right, so now I got a chance to win over these next owners. And they came in and they paired Todd and I. We were the last breathing humans left in the building after the transition. Everyone else was
really?
Suddenly, it was really empty. All right, you two are left. You're going to be the morning show.
Okay. Was this another locally owned, or was it locally owned at that point? Or?
Nope.
No.
No, this was Brill Media out of, I want to say they were out of Indiana.
Okay, was that country music at that point still?
It was for about 3 weeks. It was the worst name of a radio station. We had been Quad 99, the power station.
Okay.
Which was legendary.
Absolutely.
In this area, okay. Then it switched to All Hit K99, the Fresh FM. And they realized how very poor that sounded.
That does not sound good.
No, we got the bumper stickers made and all that. And they went, no, we just got some research in from this area. And there is no country radio station here. There is nothing local. This is a country place. This is ag-based.
Right.
You know, this area needs a local country station. So they switched it to country.
Good for them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them to recognize it.
Brilliant.
Right.
It was a brilliant move. It truly was. And it was at the perfect time. Because we're talking 1989, 1990.
Right.
Right when Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, and Clint Black had come onto the scene and took country to a new level.
Of course.
So the timing couldn't have been more perfect for all of that to happen. And to go through these guys, and then, you know, they wanted to, they got a new general manager who just hated us. And
I'm seeing a reoccurring theme here.
There is a real reoccurring
theme.
And he wanted to fire us, but then he got a new job before he could can us. So then he's gone. What happened was everybody who wanted to get rid of us ended up leaving, and we were still there. And then we accidentally got good,
yeah.
Which really pissed him off because they still didn't like us, but we were bringing in ratings. You know, so we've created the worst monster. These guys, I hate them. I think they're horrible, but for some reason, they're working. You know, because I would get a consultant who would say, no, look, I want an outline of your show the night before. You send it to me and tell me what you're going to say.
Shit.
So I would make up an outline, send it to them, and not do a damn thing that was on there. And they'd get mad until the ratings came out. And it's like, dude knows what he's doing. I guess we're just going to have to put
step
up with
back,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and so I will tell you right now that one of the things, I've been in radio for 5 years now. I'm 20. I'm going to be 24. Here next month.
Wow.
Or no, 2 weeks. Anyhow, I'm going to be 24, been in radio for 5 years. So I'm starting to accrue some of the knowledge. I could tell you that there is no way I would want to do my show with a script in front of me. Now, I've got a base of what I'm going to talk about. But like we talked beforehand, I mean, normally you're about halfway through the show and you go, what the, I haven't touched that, that. And it just, it's a new avenue. And it's that feeling you get when you get in front of that mic and you find momentum behind something. You're like, that's pretty damn good radio. You know, and we're still, I'm still figuring it out. I got a lot to learn, but it's that feeling of there's no way that I could script my show. I'm not organized like that. So that would be very difficult for me to deal with.
I never did it. Yeah, no, that, I couldn't, because I've got to go with my energy, my flow.
You're big on energy, right?
I'm totally into energy.
What does that mean to you? What does that energy mean?
I am the world's most hypersensitive person in the world. So my job every day is to protect me.
Okay.
It's to police what I will allow myself to read, what comments I will go to, who's – I block my feed on Facebook to make it more friendly. If people post things that send me in a different direction, yeah. I got to get rid of it. I am so affected by my surroundings that if one person around me is feeling down or isn't digging the moment, I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes through. So I try to create – this energy wherever I go. If I can come in and create a lighthearted, up-feeling thing,
atmosphere,
then I'm in victory right then. I can't handle the negativity. It's there. It's everywhere. But I spend my whole life trying to police it, trying to keep out those kind
right.
of things. And you can if you put up the proper walls. You put up your walls and you protect them.
How the hell did you get through 2020? I mean, because you talk about negative energy all around the entire world. How'd you get through that?
Because it's your choice every damn day.
Yeah?
You know, as soon as you wake up, you can decide to let everything get to you, which is the easy thing to do. I'm telling you, being
it
happy
is.
And staying positive is not easy.
No.
But it is so attainable. Because, look, that shit is there whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Whether you're in a good mood or whether you're in a bad mood, the same crap is existing. So why not take the happy angle? And I try to tell people, look, don't mistake my optimism or being up for being naive to what's going on. Look, I feel it, but I choose not to let that rule me and let it be what determines my mood for the day.
Yeah.
I determine that.
I like that.
It's you. It's how you react to the situations that you run into that make you as a person and make your mood. When you make it a priority to be happy and fight for it, you cannot fail.
Well, and that especially is so contagious when you get in front of a mic, when you get in front of just people too, right? I mean, that's what we talk about. Ryan Kelly's doing the production for this. He's my producer for NoCo Now from 9 to 11. We feed off of each other. There's days where Ryan's down that I start doing the goofiest shit in commercial breaks just trying to get him up, and there's days where he can see that I'm down, and that's a special relationship that you develop in any job, but especially on radio, because you're impacting so many people when you get in front of that mic. Okay, we got off base here. Let's go back. So you switch over to the countryside.
Yes.
And then the rest was history, or what? I'm sure there was some turmoil throughout.
Oh, it was a battle to begin with to introduce ourselves. I mean, we were going anywhere where they'd let us broadcast, to do broadcasts.
Right.
I mean, I know we were heading up to Wyoming every Monday night for a club night, and everyone was armed, you know, because you just didn't know what was going to go down.
What was the club in Wyoming? So I could just make a mental note to stay the hell out of there.
I'm not even going to go there. But we went up in this
Toyota. It was the Den, wasn't it? It was the Den on the way.
No, that was on the, no.
That was Wednesday night?
No, we never stopped there.
That's what we call bullshit.
No, because we were in a van with our call letters on the side, so we really didn't want to do that.
Parked 5 miles down the road like you broke down. And
well,
then
we were in a Toyota with no seats in the back. We called it the bucket of death because the two people in the front would ride there and one guy would roll around in the back. And that was it. You were back there with the pistols, you know,
yes,
going up to
yes. Safe, by the way. That's the exact safety standards that everybody wants to meet while they're driving.
Oh, absolutely. But it took off. People were hungry for country, and they were hungry for somebody to bring it to them locally.
Yeah.
You know, there was Denver bringing some, but nothing. That doesn't count.
No.
You know, we're
especially here, even in northern Colorado, there is a difference. You know, we can feel it here when there's a nationally syndicated show on compared to when my dumb ass is in front of a mic or one of our other very talented hosts that are in front of a mic. The gauge of where people are at, you can feel it. And northern Colorado is kind of special in that way because It takes a little bit if you're not born and raised here to get a pulse on that. But once you do, man, once they accept you in, you are in.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really the way it is with the country music community.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's anything ag-based. That's what, you know, if you're in business, you look for somebody with an FFA background. I mean, you just do, because it creates character. There's something about that lifestyle. It was called country music for a reason, because this is what always drove me crazy about corporate radio. Corporate tried to take everything and shove it down the big city's throat. The only win is if you're winning in Fort Collins or you're winning in the bigger areas. Absolute bullcrap. That is absolute, especially when it comes to what happens here at KFKA and what we were doing with country music.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just, there's more to it. And once you know who you are, and you find your identity and you find your listenership, that's when things start to take off. You know, I've felt it here the last 5 years. We are local. That's what we've got, a local lineup from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. right now. That's the most local programming we've had since I've been here. And it's been phenomenal for us. You know, we're breaking podcast records and things like that. And that's from our standpoint right now. What you guys are doing on the FM side and the country music, it's special, because, you know, we talk about talk radio. I'm the only person who can give my take, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm listening to country music, at some point, you know, if you guys aren't entertaining or if you guys aren't engaged and have your listeners there, you know, you can switch channel and find the same country song.
Yep.
How did you combat that? Did you feel extra pressure knowing, look, there's a bunch of other radio stations that could be playing the same song right now?
I knew when it began that it was a long-term deal.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, sports teams, radio, any business, instant success. You got to have instant success. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Because success is built on trust, and trust doesn't happen instantly. I knew it was going to be a long road to hoe. I knew we needed to get involved in things in the community. I know I needed to be visible. I know I needed to shake hands and follow through with what was said. I needed to develop trust.
Right.
And by staying true to who I was, and being where there was no doubt when you turned on where I was from.
Yeah.
You knew exactly you were listening to somebody who's in Northern Colorado. And just being the voice, this community wants to do great things. They want people to lead them in great directions. One of the greatest things I ever did was created the 28 Hours of Hope.
For those of the people that don't know, what is that?
It's an event that I started decades ago. Because April was Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Okay.
And child abuse is one of the most horrific things in the world, and nobody was shining a light on it.
Right.
And I wanted to make it so that it was something that people could talk about, not this dark secret that gets hidden away, or, you know, Uncle Lenny's funny that way. Don't let mm-hmm. the kids. I wanted to shine a light on a really uncomfortable thing, but do something to help local organizations right in the community that dealt with abused kids in our community. So many people, they're hesitant to give to the big organizations.
Don't know where the money's going.
You don't know where it's going. I wanted to do something that was local. People got it, and boy, did they grab it. The amount of times throughout the years that people opened up to me and told me their story and said, I never felt comfortable until now. You know,
That's special.
To have created something that became a healing vehicle for people, and you would see kids coming in with their piggy banks and saying, I saved this so kids don't hurt anymore, and bring it in and dump it in a big jug, and you're just, man, I get goosebumps thinking
right,
about it.
Yeah.
When you have that, you're given that prestige, you're given that, you know, people look up to you and trust you to do the right thing there. And what a gift. That's been the greatest blessing of all the things that happened in my career. You know, I won every award you could possibly think of.
Yes, you did.
But there was nothing that compared to a kid dumping their change into something and saying those words and meeting somebody, you know, victims who had come in and told their story and healed as they grew up and kept you a part of their lives.
Right.
You know? Everything I did for abused kids and for veterans. That was the other thing that was just so key to me to let this community get involved in and be a part of. We did huge things for that. So that all in all, when I look at this career, it took a lot to build. It took a lot to get trust, but the payoff was what we did together as a community.
Well, and what you just talked, I mean, that's why you guys were 30-plus years, right? I mean, that right there is why, because you understood, and you understood the power that you had. And to be quite frank, you know, from what I know of you, didn't let it go to your head, right? Because a lot of these people, you see it all the time, the fame, the whatever, the power, quote-unquote power, it goes to their heads, and then you get a lot of egotistical assholes in our industry.
We do.
And so how did you keep yourself in check with that? Because I'm sure, I mean, like you said, you won every award, you were partying with the big guys, everything like that. How did you keep yourself in check?
You know, one of the greatest things that probably bothered me at times was having a wife who has kept me grounded. In all seriousness, I would, you'd sometimes get a little full of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are great. Everybody loves me, man.
Right.
You know, this is feeling good. I should come home and have that same thing, man. My wife, and she made it. She said something to me once that just stuck with me. She said, "I'm not your fan. I'm your wife." And that was a kick to the nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was, because it's like, wow, I really want you to be my fan. But I get that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was always, I guess I've never expected to be there. I've always felt like I was just you with a cool job. Mm-hmm. That was what I always told people, you know, when I would meet them, you know, it's no different. I got a cool job that actually is in a position where people turn to follow, you know.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was nothing special. I just happened to have the platform and have this cool job. And I always looked at myself that way. And I always had bosses who told me I wasn't worth a crap. You know, and that always, maybe that kept you that way.
Right.
Tanner, I worked for over 30 years and never had an office. I had all of my possessions packed in a bag. And I would bring it with me. I would come to the radio station in the morning for 30 years. I would unzip my bag, take out my pictures of my family, set them around the control board, take out all my knickknacks, my personal roll of toilet paper. They had my name on it, and all this other stuff, all my little knickknacks. And I would set them out every day, and I would do my show. I'd finish, I'd pack up, and I'd go home. So I could never take for granted where I was and what I was doing, to know that at any minute, it could be over.
Right. Well, you know? And that's especially true, you know, as you got into more corporate, bigger corporate radio too, right? When you talk about iHeart, when you talk about that stuff. I mean, there's some interesting characters. We're gonna get into it.
Oh God, I've got a story.
I want to talk about your wife real quick, because I don't want to forget. You've been married 35 years?
35 years.
Congratulations to you. What does your wife do?
She had been the general manager for Carl's Jr. Restaurants.
Okay.
And traveling around and doing that for years. And like a lot of corporations, they suddenly eliminate positions. And then she took on just doing a bunch of other things. But what she ended up doing is staying home to raise our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter could go and work. She stayed and raised these kids,
okay,
which was a huge sacrifice for her.
Right.
I love her so much for it, to give up your career and all of those things to take care of the grandkids.
I've never had the privilege of meeting her, but I can tell you already, she's your better half.
Oh, there's no... that doesn't take a lot to figure out.
Okay, so we're a podcast. You can say that. There's no FCC regulations in here.
I understand, but you'll earn the ass. Just right now, it's the A.
So the corporations... Let's get into that. Let's get an iHeart. Let's get into that because
let's get honest.
Because in the radio world, I've only worked for a locally owned station. And to be quite frank, I don't think I'd cut it anywhere else, because I don't have that in me just to have somebody, I don't know, be a pawn, maybe, right? Yeah.
No, this is radio. Right. This is what's meant to be, is what you do right here.
So what happened when iHeart and took over and started that stuff?
Oh, it wasn't iHeart.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. This was another company we'll refer to as Clown Square.
Mm.
You got that, huh? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I can rip it. It's like, look, I got an agreement. We'll never work together again. So this will make that real evident. But they were the most horrible people I have ever experienced in my life. They came in. The minute they took over, I saw how things were going, how the personal end was being sucked out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered me, and I would go to bat for local. It's like, no, there are more than 28 songs that need to be played, you know, and it was all of these kind of things that would come into play. Well, they hated me. Really, people, I know there's a theme here. There is.
All right. I think that Brian Gary might just be an asshole. I think that's what...
and that could be. You know, maybe it
you know,
is.
You know that old saying? When you meet a guy, and you're like, man, he's an ass.
Oh, I've got a lot.
And then you
that.
Meet another guy, and he's like, yeah, he's an asshole, too. And then you stop and say, wait a second, maybe I'm the asshole?
I had so many coworkers come up to me and say, you know, now that I get to know you, I thought you were really an ass at first.
Really?
Because I had this projection, like people thought I was unapproachable, yet I was... probably the most approachable person
right.
you're going to find. But this is one of my favorite radio espionage stories.
Okay.
All right. I was the first one in the building every morning, so I would go and make copies of what I was going to do. So I was the first one to see the copy machine in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the new people were so freaking stupid that they left crucial information laying on the copy machine in the morning. We had gotten a brand new GM who loved me, as you know,
right.
he told me, of course. Yet, the second day he's there, I go up in the morning and laying on the printer is his itinerary for the day of his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I look and I see, wow, at 11:45, he's having lunch at Austin's with my competition, Scott and Sadie. From
97.9, right?
I look and go, wow, well, that's kind of weird. So I go into the studio. I go, Todd, what are you doing for lunch today?
You did not.
I said,
you did not.
I said, I just found Pete's itinerary, and he's meeting with Scott and Sadie at 11:45 at Austin's. What if we happen to be there having lunch and just watch their expressions when they came in? So we picked up another buddy.
Are you
shitting me? And we didn't tell him what was going on because we didn't want him to know. We thought we're going to play this through. So we sit down and we're sitting there at our table. 11:45 rolls around, door opens, and there's all three of them standing there. And to hear the color leave their faces. And they come over, you know, not the new guy, but Scott comes over. What are you guys doing here, you know? We're just having lunch. Weird. What are you guys doing here? And then they disappeared. And
they
I
didn't
see them out in the parking lot, and they're all on their phones and take off. And
oh,
I knew what they were doing
God.
Was calling my program director, who loved me too, and was telling him, you're not going to believe it, but Brian and Todd are actually in this right now. Are you kidding? So I know he's in on it.
Right.
But I go back to the radio station. I said, Mark, weirdest thing. Todd and I were just going out to lunch at Austin's, and in walks Scott and Sadie. He's like, no.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, goodness.
But it was fantastic to see the look. And then years later, it was just maybe a year ago, I told Scott and Sadie the story. I remember that so vividly. It was so...
So whatever came of that? I mean, if they were shopping, that's what they were doing, right? They were shopping, right?
Absolutely.
So whatever came of that?
That guy ended up leaving.
Okay. Oh,
and we continued on, and then they would bring in more consultants who just didn't like the way things were. But geez, they won the CMA award,
right?
You know, and then, you know,
the proof's in the pudding.
Absolutely. And then we, you know, get into the Hall of Fame, and I see the head of our company at the Hall of Fame thing, and he went out of his way to not talk to us.
Nice. That's got to make you feel real good, too.
Got nothing. Didn't get flowers. We didn't even get one of those recorded liners that says, you know, Country Radio Hall of Fame. And this, nothing. They didn't promote it. They ignored it completely and wouldn't say a word about it.
What was it about you guys that drove them crazy? Just unorthodox or what?
Because we didn't do things the corporate way.
Okay.
I could not do, like you just talked about, scripted cookie cutter thing. I can't do that. I've got to flow. I got to go with what's in my heart. I trust myself. You know, I trust what's coming out of me and what I was given. The one ability I was given was to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I trust that. And I think I know more about what I need to present and what the audience did than some guy sitting in an office in Rhode Island.
Yeah. I think that's very apparent to me, but for a lot of those corporations, it's not. So let's talk about some of the competition. Did you guys ever have a radio war or anything like that? Because it seems like every station, every set of hosts have something, right? They've got something. Did you guys ever find any of that or not?
As soon as I hear that that's what people do, I don't do it. To me, I looked at it as, why would I acknowledge that my competition exists?
Yeah.
To me, I always felt like the United Nations, and I was not recognizing them as a nation. And that was it. If I completely ignore, if I have total apathy and don't even let them exist in my mind, that's it. In my whole career, I never listened to another radio show. I never wanted to be influenced or hear what somebody else did and then be accused or in my mind think, did I take that? I've just always trusted in my originality and what I bring, which is a consultant's worst freaking nightmare.
Yes, it is.
You know,
absolutely is.
It is. So I was everything that they didn't want you to do in broadcasting school. But I knew it worked.
Yeah.
You know,
I respect the hell out of that. And that's why I think, you know, when I met you and we hit it off really well, and that's why I asked you to fill in and stuff like that, because that's not something when you're out. I mean, that's not something you want to just hand to anybody. And that's why I think I really respect that originality. And here's who I am. And if you don't like it, you can go and you know the rest of the expression.
No, absolutely. But There is something I talk about energy, and you know I'm this old hippie at heart, and that's what I do. But I feel people's energy. I know if there's somebody that are going to be pleasant to be around, mm-hmm. or if there's something else there. My wife's brilliant at this too, that she sees it even before I do. But there was something about, and I'm not just saying it because I'm sitting here on your radio station and all that. There is something about you guys here. I feel it in you. I feel it in Brady. I feel it in Ryan. It is good people projecting good energy, wanting to do good things. You can feel that. It's tangible. It's in the air. And people laugh and shake their heads at me. And, you know, whatever. And I get that. That's totally cool. But I know the shit's real.
Yeah.
All right. I know it's real, and I know it guides me, and it doesn't lead me astray. You know, so I just, that's why there was something. It might have been that you made me go to Broken Plow.
Yeah, twisted his arm real hard.
Talking to me twisted about his arm. Stuff.
Which, by the way, we're having the Randy's Pale Ale. What do you thought? What do you think?
I think this is delicious, by the way.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. We've got this. We've got that. I think I'm going to send this home with Ryan, the apricot weed. I think he's getting a bonus today. He's getting a beer. He's all excited back
very
there.
Very excited.
Have you had this yet, Ryan? No, he has not. Yeah, no, Broken Plow, it's great. You went there, and you hadn't had a beer in a long time, right?
I was just going to say, it had been like 20 years since I had had a beer.
Yeah?
I had not drinking. Yeah, I know, right?
I quit drinking. He's like, no way. There's no way.
I quit drinking completely, and then I had to turn in my timepiece, and Tanner threw me right off. New clock. Yeah. No,
I see how it is.
No, I had started.
He's had two beers in the last 30 years, and they're both of me. So I don't know if I should be honored.
The only one.
I don't know if I should be honored or if I need to look at myself in the mirror and say, what are you doing here?
You're young. You've got a lot of time to heal, Tanner. You can go through many phases of you yet. Don't get stuck with this one. You've got many
more
to go.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's keep going on here. You, at the peak of what you guys were doing, I mean, there was nobody in the country better than what you guys were doing. There just wasn't. And that led you to meet some of the biggest names in country music. Give us one or two of the wildest stories that you've got with some of these big names. We don't want to ruin their careers, obviously.
Oh, no.
Or we could. That's what this podcast is all about. No, it's ruining careers, ruining a drinking streak. I mean, yeah, we're just here to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, no, I can do that. I have had the pleasure of meeting basically every country star I'd ever dreamed of meeting. You know, and there's certain ones that stand out, and it's not surprising the ones that do. Garth Brooks stands out because there's a reason he is the god that he is.
Right.
He treats people like they are the absolute king and queen of the world. I have never had backstage experiences like I have with Garth. Usually it's a cattle call. You just run through, quick photo, move on.
Right.
Garth would rather see fewer people and make it memorable. So he'll take four or five people into a room with him and Trisha and just sit there alone with them and have a 10-minute conversation.
That's awesome.
And then bring in the next. So I got to sit with Garth and tell him that it was his fault that the world had gone to shit. Because everything was – I did. I told him this exact thing. I said, look, everything was going great. People were happy. I said, things were going wonderful. And then you decided you just wanted to be a dad. I said, which I respect like anything, but you walked away and the world got pissed, angry, and turned into a different place.
Was that when he tried to be Chris Gaines for a while?
No.
Okay.
This is way before. He left it. It's when he left. Because
that
kids.
Chris Gaines thing was freaking weird.
I didn't bring that up.
Okay.
Didn't bring up Chris Gaines. But I told him, you know, it went to crap. I said, and now you're back. And this was when he was just making the comeback. I said, and you feel this energy again. There's an excitement. I said, when you come to a town, it's like the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right now it feels like the Broncos are in the Super Bowl. You got these five sold-out shows in
a row.
It's
still like that, though, too.
It is.
It's like going to Cheyenne. I mean, I was looking for tickets in 15 minutes. They started at 8 o'clock. The room started filling up. My girlfriend was on there 15 minutes before. By 8:15, 15 minutes afterwards, all of them gone. Sold. And it's Cheyenne. It's there's a lot of great artists. Blake Shelton's playing up there. There's a lot of the Kane Brown, one of the up and comers, and yet it's still him.
He is the pinnacle. His last album was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Fun was a great album. It was one of the best he's done. So he has not lost a thing. Live performing, you're just not going to find a better show.
No,
and
you're not.
He treated us so good. You walk in and he's like, how you doing? I'm Garth. And I went, no shit.
Really?
I read it on your name tag. You know, that's.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that have been better, though, if he was just sitting there with a name tag on?
Oh, it would have been awesome. But another one of my favorite ones was I went with Reba.
Okay.
It was me and Reba and my wife. And Melissa Peterman, who was the co-star of the Reba show.
Right.
You know
yep.
the show?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right. She was there at the show. And we're hanging out. We're laughing. We're talking. Reba is as sweet as you would imagine she could possibly be.
Yeah.
And Melissa says, you know what? Leanne Womack has a bunch of Jello shots in her dressing room.
What?
Let's go raid Leanne's dressing room and drink all of her Jello shots. And Reba, oh Lord, y'all go yourself.
Reba's not about Jello shots.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So we went into Leanne Womack's dressing room and we drank her Jello shots. Come out, and then there, standing right there, is Brian Greasy.
He was. He's like, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, that's. Suddenly, there's Brian Greasy there, too.
Are you sure that you didn't just get too high one night?
No.
Are you sure
that's
not what happened?
I have, but not that particular one. Now, the time with the Cadillac 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
And Midland, those are other stories there.
Right, we might have to have another podcast for that. But hey, me and Melissa Peterman making Brian drink, we both are on that apparently.
Absolutely.
We're both there.
You're very good at it.
So you meet all these people, it's got to be awesome. And then you come back, you're doing this show, and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal times. What you did, really, I don't think will be repeated at a corporate radio station ever for that long. It was, I mean, hell, I grew up in Northern Colorado. I listened to you guys, right? I mean, it was just that. Everybody knew where you guys were at, what you stood for, and the legacy and the impact you had on Northern Colorado and still continue to have. It is phenomenal and it's unmatched. Now let's talk about the serious stuff, right? The stuff that sucks is that all good things do have to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the writing on the wall? How did this happen?
I don't know if I mentioned that they hated me.
Yeah. Just once or twice.
And they actually, to my face, told me that I had outaged my audience. They told me I was too old, which is illegal.
Yeah.
Which I could,
right.
And it took me aback. I'm like, wait a minute. We're nominated for the CMA right now. We're number one.
Mm-hmm.
I
did you say this calm with them when they said that or no?
They know exactly how I felt.
Right.
I never held anything back with them. I'm always brutally honest.
Yeah.
Where I sat in the dude's office, and I just started bawling my eyes out. I said, you're killing me. I said, you are taking away the one thing that I love and have built, and you're destroying it right in front of me.
Wow.
I said, this is killing me. Nothing. You know, nothing. It was... It was torturous. I knew it was time to go because I couldn't work in those conditions.
Yeah.
Look, dude, I got a lot of life left in me.
No doubt.
I was just getting cooking. I mean, I may have been 30 years in, but I was just felt like I was just grooving, you know.
Right.
I was just getting it. I had new momentum, new juice, a new me. I felt like this was going to be awesome. And to have it, you know, being told you're too old. So I think I left the perfect way. I left from the stage at the Union Colony Civic Center to a sold-out crowd and bid farewell as my buddy Bob Purcell played The Cowboy Rides Away, and I walked off that stage and walked away. You know, and that beautiful ending, but when you sit back then and you think, God, I had so much more.
Yeah.
You know, there's more, because at first it's like, okay, this was right. You know, I needed to get out of radio.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to get out of that situation.
Right.
I did.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they came in, they fired Susan right on the air while we're doing a show.
Holy shit.
You know, canned her while I'm doing a show and then come in to tell me and expect me to finish the show. You know, when it was the cruelest finish you could have to such a beautiful career, that you hate to have that taste be the end of it.
So... I don't know how to, you know what, does it bring you any solace or comfort seeing what a shit show they've had over there now in the morning with the rotating door? Because what wasn't it, it was a couple of young.
Gone through a couple people.
They've been through a couple, what, you know, and I think that at first, was it Jordan Michael that came in there next, I think? And I'll, you don't have to comment on any of this. I will. It caught me off guard because I get a follow from one of them on Instagram. And I'm like, okay, who is this? I start looking and I'm like, really? This guy? Like, you know, no disrespect to him. I think that he's got talent. I don't know if it's necessarily in radio. I think he's got talent. But
he makes mean pancakes, I've heard. Great at Perkins. I understand the two of them got a food cart now.
But he started following me, started following people my age, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I saw who it was, and I listened, I'm like, what is this? What is this? And you're right, you know, I met the other one as well, and it was just shocking to me. That they went for social media influencers,
mm-hmm.
not radio,
mm-mm.
And that will not work.
No, and I knew that, and that's, it hurt so bad that it took me 2 years. It was not until shortly before that I was going to come in and fill in for you,
right,
that I turned on a radio.
Really?
I hadn't been able to. For 2 years, I haven't been able to do it. I couldn't even watch the Country Music Award shows because it just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like watching somebody else with your wife. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
It was that kind of feeling. There
right.
was just a lot of pain. I had to heal. I probably should have gone and seen somebody.
Well, and I was just going to ask, how did you deal with it? I mean, because that type of pain can get to you.
And I should have. I should have reached out. I tried to heal me because I'm the happiness warrior, damn it.
Right.
I'm happy. I'm happy all the time. But this was a true test, and I think I needed to learn a lot. You know, I guess I needed to get humbled a bit. There are some things that needed to happen to me I didn't know needed to happen. But I mentioned this when I filled in for you, that one of the coolest things that happened over the last 2 years was I got to fall in love with my wife all over again.
Yeah.
You know, I got to really know her. You know, we got to spend each other, and she was never my fan, so she didn't have to pretend to be that anymore. She was my supportive wife.
Right.
You know, which is something completely different.
And yeah.
Now I see that's what I need.
Right.
You know, is that. So I feel invincible now. You know, that I got that. All these things that I went through, as painful as all of it was, has made me a better, stronger, and I'm going to be a better person in the long run from it. You know, I had to, you got to go through some stuff.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
the dark days are what make the light days so much brighter,
no,
right?
It's a yin and a yang. You know, when you look at my life on paper, it's average because I have had the highest of highs and I have had the lowest of lows. So you put it, you know, you It looks like a straight line when you do it that way, but it has been one hell of a ride, you know.
Would you have done anything any different?
I would have taken better care of my health.
Okay.
That's professionally, I wouldn't have done a damn thing different. I would have just taken better care of me so I wouldn't have had a heart attack when I did and all that. And I say that, but in all honesty, every mistake you make, every damn thing you do creates who you are now. And I like who I am now, so I can't say that I'd change a damn thing. You wish you wouldn't have hurt certain people or done those kind of things
right.
That cause pain. But through that, you hopefully learn something that you would never do that again or maybe teach somebody else not to.
Right.
So my life has just been a continuous learning lesson, and I'm far from done yet. You know, I've said when somebody puts an unexpected period in your life story, write a new damn paragraph.
So what? What are some goals you've got still? I mean, what's next? I mean, I don't need anything specific or anything like that. But what is next for Brian Gary?
I want to be able to afford my heat, an endless supply of Totino's pizzas.
Tombstone's where it's at, by the way. Come on now.
I want to not need anything and make a difference. That's what I want to do. I want to continue to be. I know what I was given, and that is the ability to talk, the ability to try to lead people, to help people. I want to help people.
Right.
I would like for any pain that I've experienced, any mistakes I've made, to have been done to help others so that they don't. I just want to get involved in people's lives, man. I want to be a part of them.
Well, you're still here in Northern Colorado, and we're very happy to have it. It's still here. Whether you're on the radio or not, we're happy to make Northern Colorado a better place. You've got a tremendous following. And so I want to say thank you for what you've done and the impacts that you've had with your organizations and for being a part of what we're starting to do here at KFK and filling in and this podcast and things like that. With all that being said, this gets into the weird part of the podcast. Are you ready for
Bring
this?
Bring it on, yeah.
Yeah, what? Get some more beer in there.
Ryan, did you need one? All right, things are going to get western. Okay.
The biggest asshole you ever met, who is a notable name? Who was it?
Of artists?
Yeah. Or anybody. I don't care.
You see, it. Of anybody.
Notable name,
yeah,
right?
I listed
Tanner Schwint.
All of those that I had worked for. Without a doubt, the last one was the biggest a-hole I've ever met in my life, little hippie freak. in all honesty, because I had great moments and bad moments with both of these artists.
Okay.
All right. The biggest dick at one of them was Toby Keith.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I can see that a little bit, actually.
But very much. And again, their lives are run differently. They get it. And you get seconds, and that makes you determination on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's it's not a fair assessment.
Right.
You know, but that was.
What happened?
I left there. No, there was just a coldness.
Really?
Yeah. Where I had had that Garth vibe, and I get a lot of those feelings. And this just wasn't that. You know, but then. I got on his bus to do an interview with him about weed, and he was one of the greatest guys I have ever talked to in my life.
I love it.
Sitting behind the stage at the Stampede, jumping on there and sitting with him and talking about
Man,
weed.
He was
phenomenal.
Trashed that night.
He is trashed every night. And that's part of it. People love that about him, you know?
Yeah.
You know? It's
For sure. So him, okay.
And another one who, Tim McGraw. Who one
I can
time
also I, see that.
I, the one time I met him, just a cold jerk. Then, like the next three times, hugging me and one of the nicest guys you could ever spend time with. So it's a lot on, you know, at the timing that you get them. But I can't say, because again, all of those corrected. All of those were just moments that I could tell were just moments. All in all, they're really good people.
What was the weirdest call-in that you ever got? Did you ever have somebody that you're like, okay, you know, I need to dump this? Or did you guys take a lot of call-ins? Did you have one that stood out that you're like, wow, that was – shouldn't have let them on. Like, we didn't get that one screened well enough.
No, we had a couple. We used to get the comedians from the comedy place in Denver on.
Oh, yeah.
And we made one of them really irritated, Carolyn Ray. Her name, and I'll never forget, she hated us. She must have worked for Town Square.
If she didn't, she could have got a job there pretty easily, huh?
But she did. And there's another one that stands out as just, I was doing an interview and you could tell just did not want anything to do with it.
Really?
Shania Twain.
Really?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, right? So Ryan's right. You just hear the muffled, really?
Again, had no interest in the interview. Got to interview her again later. Was nice, but that one was where I could have just stopped it right there and just went, I'm not even playing this thing. That was terrible. I got done with it and thought that was the worst interview I ever did. And then I played it on the air and the phones light up. That was so cool. You had Shania Twain. And I, wow. Okay, that's when you got to really realize
right.
that everybody hears things differently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we can be our absolute
of
own worst
course.
Critic.
Of course, yeah. Did you ever have groupies?
Oh, yeah, I mean, we had super fans. We called them P1s because they were your P1 listeners.
Right.
You know, and you wanted those.
How did you separate a P1 from the rest of your listeners?
No, they were. We felt everybody was. We wanted everyone to be part of our family. I never had that.
You had a groupie.
Such a different. No, there were lots of groupies, but they were just part of the family.
Okay.
You know, there was none like, well, I want to.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can separate them by who has their shirt on and who doesn't.
No, keep in mind, I was dressing about 350, 400 pounds through most of my career. You know, there was maybe a lot of freakish curiosity, but not any, I got to have me some of that. You know,
freakish curiosity. Oh, my God. I told you this was the weird part of the interview.
Well, absolutely. No, I mean, when you look like, oh, God, him in a swimsuit, that's like a Bartlett pear with a rubber band on it. You know, that was not, you know, Magnet was popping up because I'd be wearing the, you know, big fat guy Zubas. You know, my hair looked like Weird Al at the time, wearing these wire-rimmed glasses and just, yeah, rather unappealing.
Did you?
That's why I'm hot now. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Dude, you can change. I would do the 55-year-old me over the 25-year-old me any day.
I don't even know what to say. I think we're just going to move on.
You agree.
I'm gonna poke my mind's eye out is what I'm gonna do. The biggest fight. So obviously you work with the same group of people for that long. You're gonna have run-ins.
Okay.
Was there ever a moment that you didn't want to work with Todd?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we absolutely.
What was the worst thing you ever said to him?
Probably I hate your guts. You know that kind of thing. We
right.
we. The first couple years did not like each other. We were not alike at all. I mean, he had to go on prescription drugs because of trying to deal with me. I had to use a lot of recreational ones. It would get real tense in there because sometimes you'd look up and, you know, he's not there and you expect him to be there and then you just. There were many times where I would throw my hands up and I would go out of the studio, slam the door, go outside, come back in when the break was on, mic came on, nobody else would ever know anything, but it came off, we were freaking silent for the rest of the show, we're just not talking to you, you know, and
right.
by the end of it, it's, you want to go have an omelet?
Yeah. Oh my God! Let's see. What else haven't we asked here? Weirdest moment you ever had with one
okay.
of the yeah?
Okay. Well, weirdest moment with here. We had. It's just us here. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There is.
We had this little game we played called ass tennis. Just Ryan's mouth just dropped. I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The goal of ass tennis. Is to try to get the other guy to see your naked ass when you know it's the last thing on earth he would want to do, right? So, like, Todd would leave to go to the bathroom. When he'd come back in the studio, I got my pants down below my cheeks. First thing he sees, oh, 15 love, you know, and that was it. Now, if you threw it up and they didn't see it, net serve didn't count, all right? So we would have these games of ass. Nobody else was involved. It was just Todd and I, and then... We decided one morning there was a new guy who was starting in one of the newer stations in the building. So we thought, let's break this dude in. Let's go give him a couple of pressed hams on the glass. So
I can't figure out why they hated you. I can't figure it out.
We go out in the parking lot, and we go out there, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this car, and I thought, oh, the new guy must drive that one, you know. So we go up to his control room window. We're out in the parking lot. A little chilly, but we both drop, press the hams right up there. You know, we got a giggle, heard him go, oh, you know, so we laugh. And then we go back in the studio sitting there. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock on the front door. Everything's locked. And we look out there, and there's a couple of nice 50, 60-year-old ladies out there who happened to have been sitting in that car I had spotted, to ask Todd and I to be honorary Nunions in the Town of Nuns celebration. And she comes in and asks us, and I said, were you out in that parking lot? Yeah, we were. So you saw your Nunions? Yes.
My God. Did they still ask you?
They still did.
There you go.
You were still honorary Nunions.
Only a nun would they have asked that. Only a nun.
Thank you, guys. We're waiting for the return. Hasn't happened.
Brian, Gary, thank you so much. This was a blast. We went down a lot of different ways. But
trying to write down what this was about.
Yeah, good luck on the show description on this one. Ryan. Cheers to you, my friend. Thank you so much. Excited to see what you've got in store. And no matter what, hopefully when I go down to Texas next time, you can still step in and fill in for me because we love having you.
I love being here, man. Thanks for making me part of the family.
Absolutely. That has been Let's Have a Beer.